From soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Greetings of love from the island of Kauai. In 1988, you are invited to join other dedicated Infinite Way students in San Diego for the Easter Infinite Way Seminar, March 31st through April 4th. That's 1988. Invitations for this special spiritual event will be mailed to you in February this coming year, giving you one full year to arrange your affairs so that you can attend. Also, to prepare the group for the high theme of transition. During the coming year, we will have six more preparation tapes, all based on Joel's book, Living Between Two Worlds. If there are some friends in this work you want to receive invitations to the 88 seminar or announcements about the preparation tapes being issued in 87, simply drop us a note and give us their address. Be sure you consider them worthy of joining this group consciousness, so that they are not out of place, so that they are participating in something they're prepared to handle. And now, because this is our last class in 1986, and because you are determined to achieve your transition under divine guidance, our work must now accelerate. To lift you into deeper experiences of spiritual power, beyond verbalizing, into dominion over material limitations of the flesh. This will demand from all of us unwavering faith in the presence, the love, the perfection of Christ within. Now, tomorrow, and forever. One of the great limitations of the scientific mind is that it knows a great deal about the dream universe. It can tell us about atoms and subatoms and mini-atoms and micro-atoms, about galaxies and nebulae beyond the stars. But it cannot tell us one word of truth about God or about God's spiritual creation. It may talk eloquently about all forms of concepts in this world, about evolution of the human race, about the way the world was formed. But that same scientific mind cannot explain why there are more than 50 million abortions in this dream world every year. Astrophysicists can predetermine the precise location of remote heavenly objects 10,000 years from now. And yet no scientist can explain why innocent children are crippled by muscular dystrophy, or why cancer strikes every age, every creed, and every color on earth. Science understands the cosmos even better than an auto mechanic understands what is under the hood of his automobile. But no scientist has ever been able to explain why all human beings on Earth are helpless victims of a mysterious force called death. To solve the paradox of an impotent God who tolerates war, mass murder, disease, and death, religion had a brilliant idea. They invented a false god who divides his power with the devil. And so between godless science and unscientific religion, we have been taught by one side that God is a myth, that divine law is non-existent. And on the other side, we have learned that the man created by God is immoral and must have divine punishment. Now, the confusion and the widespread disillusionment that holds mankind in a web of contradictions is caused by mass hypnosis. The belief in an impotent God and the belief in no God are the two great roadblocks that prevent billions of human beings from attaining their freedom in Christ. World conditions today are a manifestation of this mass hypnosis. Before the conditions can disappear, the hypnosis must be broken. Before war, disease, and death can be eliminated from individual experience, the hypnosis that God and man are two, that God and man are separate, must be shattered completely. All halfway measures will fail if we wish to improve our humanhood. The hypnosis will remain to defeat us. If we seek peace through arms control, but approve and condone neighbor nations who repress human freedom, we will discover that the peace we deny to others cannot come to us. Today, we wish to shine the spotlight on a very, very difficult but proven method to overcome worldwide hypnosis and the hypnosis we are overcoming is the hypnosis of mortality, known more simply as personal sense. What is it? What is personal sense? How does it keep us out of God's kingdom? How does it separate us from spiritual power? What are the danger signals we should recognize? And what does Christ say about personal sense? What does Joel say? When Scripture warns us that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, it tells us about every human being on this earth. Yes, the child born in your mother's womb is the natural man. The child born in your mother's womb is the mortal who grows up and says, "This form, this person is me." That is personal sense. When you accept a mortal material body and a mortal human mind, you are also accepting human vulnerability. You are accepting preformed human judgments. And you are accepting a finite, temporary life because you are making yourself a fragment of your real self. You are shutting out the kingdom of God's perfection, and you are locking yourself into this imperfect world, which is not the divine creation. As personal sense developed in you, you divided life into things. Things that were good for you and things that were bad for you. Even though everything in God's creation has been pronounced very good by God. So personal sense taught you to fear, to glorify yourself, to preserve yourself, to be covetous, and sometimes envious, jealous, hateful, and hating, and prejudiced. Personal self gave you many problems. Personal sense made you sick, convinced you that you were limited and lacking, that every year you were getting older. But it never occurred to you that the physical injuries you thought you suffered, the sicknesses, the failing ears, the failing vision, the failing heart, were not of God, and therefore were unreal. They were false products of your own limited personal sense. It never occurred to you that the trials and the tribulations that plagued you occurred only because personal sense had cut you off from the perfect power of your own divine spirit. And even in your wildest dreams, you never realized that right here on earth, just outside your finite mortal sense of existence, is another life, another body, another you, waiting for that special day when you break the false bonds of mortality and awaken from personal limitations, from the dream self, the self that thinks it can die, into the real you, the real self, that lives forever. Christ teaches that man can and must overcome death, but only by stepping out of personal sense . This is the infallible truth, overlooked by the mortal mind of every science on earth and of almost all religions on earth. We are all born into an atomic cosmos of personal sense. We all live the atomic dream. And in this same atomic dream, we all think we die. Some of us even pretend that we will be resurrected because we have been told that good human beings are resurrected. That good human beings can anticipate days of joyous reunion in another world with their parents and with their children. And we have bought this. But these innocent, naive assumptions are not the Christ teaching. In fact, they are a deception. They are a denial. They are a rejection of the only truth. The only truth that can deliver man from death to life. Let us open our hearts now to the most spellbinding demonstration of immortal life ever presented to the human race. And may it change your life as God intended it to do. Quote, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." This is Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Jesus has just revealed to his disciples that he is the infinite Spirit of God called Christ. And he has promised to give them the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Suddenly, he drops a bombshell. He announces that to complete his mission, he must be killed and raised again on the third day. Little did they realize that right then, with that statement, he was giving them the key to the kingdom. But Peter, living in personal sense, is both horrified and shocked. He believes in death. He completely misses the secret teaching that mortality can and must be replaced by immortality before you can ever enter reality. And so, to clarify, in order that religious teachers and their congregations can glimpse the necessity for transformation, Christ now specifically declares to mankind, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Follow Christ. He is saying, follow my example. I am walking in voluntarily to give up my mortal self. And in 3 days, I will walk out alive in my immortal self. And you can do the same if you transform, if you cross out personal sense of a life apart from God and follow only Christ within your being. As Peter was baffled by the radical teaching, so was religion. And so the teaching by religion that man can be resurrected after physical death sounds wonderful to many people. It looks similar to what Jesus demonstrated. But it is a total cop-out. It is a religious counterfeit. It is a mortal mind adulteration which suppresses the real truth while pretending to teach it. The imitation teaching has no substance. It has no biblical authority. It has deceived millions of worshipers. The distinction between the teaching of Christ and the diluted teaching of religion is vast, subtle, and vital. The religious counterfeit leads to death and reincarnation. The Christ teaching leads to eternal life without death. The two teachings are worlds apart, and unless you clearly understand the difference, you may fall into the trap of reincarnation instead of ascending to the triumph of transformation into eternal life. First, notice that Jesus was not dying naturally. He was going voluntarily to Jerusalem to be killed. And he could do this only because he had already died to personal sins. And therefore, he had already attained his eternal life. He could not be killed. When Jesus said, "I am going to Jerusalem to be killed," he had absolutely no fear of death. He did not believe that he lived inside a material body. He was the realized Christ, as he had just announced to his disciples. He was not atomic man who lives in time. He was Christ, the eternal man, living outside time, immune to destruction, immune to death. And all this was attained before he went to Jerusalem with the express purpose of being killed in public, so that the faithful could later see that he had never died, while others would see a dead man come back to life. Yes, to the public, he would produce a corpse resurrected. But for his close disciples, he was teaching in advance that he could accomplish this miracle only because he had prepared for it by first realizing his eternal nature as the Spirit of God called Christ. Then he pointedly drew the distinction that by objecting to his so-called death, Peter knew the things of men, not the things of God, which is the precise distinction that we have just explained, to emphasize that the death of personal self must come first before physical death. Jesus urged those who wish to attain life eternal to deny themselves and then strive for transformation, which is taking up their cross to follow the inner Christ. Finally, to clarify that we must die to personal self before the outer appearance of physical death, Christ spoke directly to all who would adulterate his divine message and warned that if they try to cling to their sense of a personal selfhood, they would either lose or delay their opportunity to attain eternal life. And his words are now in this room with you. They are now delivering a message from God to man that will never die. It says, "For whosoever will save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." To lose your life for Christ is the invisible inner path of eternal life, which we have chosen to follow In it there is no death. Instead, there is the experience of immortality, which makes death obsolete. The stupendous change from the consciousness of a human being to the consciousness that you are Christ, Son of God, is the way you give up one life to find the other. The living voice of Christ assures you that this is not an experience reserved for Jesus alone. It is an experience for every dedicated soul who feels the call of spirit to break the dream of a personal mortal life and to live the inner divine life now. Christ reassures you that God wishes you to enter and to receive the glory of Christ on earth. That you too should enter Jerusalem to be killed by losing your belief in mortality and rising on the third day into full eternal Christhood. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Finally, to all who misunderstand and doubt, to all who pretend not to hear, to all who stop before they reach the supreme goal, Christ clearly reminds us in Matthew 16:28 that Christhood must be established before death. If you wish to ascend to eternal divine life, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Ah, the Son of Man coming in his kingdom is Christ consciousness realized in you. Eternal life in spirit attained. Then, all that is unlike eternal life falls away. And that falling away of mortality is not the same kind of death known to mortals. This death is a rebirth to the spiritual kingdom where you live as the Son of God in your eternal body, in your eternal kingdom, no longer the dying natural man, no longer motivated by personal sense, but in your whole self, complete in Christ. The disciples just as you and I went through many trials and tribulations. Following Jesus was no easy matter. But along the way, repeatedly, he left clues for them to lift them out of the hypnosis of personal sense, to break their dependence on false human material powers, to give them confidence in the existence of more than physical eyes can see. He lived in the spiritual universe behind the veil of atomic matter, a universe that is unknown to the natural man. He lived a divine life without beginning or end, a life that is not interrupted by birth, death, disease, disaster, or deterioration. And this was the life that God is expressing through every man now. A perfect life, independent of personal differences. Do you remember one day when the Pharisees questioned his authority and the validity of his statements? He then revealed another truth, a truth that is destined to liberate mankind from ever-dying lifespans. Before Abraham, he said, before Abraham was, I am. He was saying, I am eternal life. When you look at me from the viewpoint of personal sense, you see a mortal man because your vision is limited. I am immortal. I existed before human birth. And I can never die because my life is the life of God. Oh, he could have said, what I have just told you about myself is the truth about you. But at that time, even his disciples were not yet prepared to understand. In another moment, he revealed another truth, incensed by his words about Abraham. The Pharisees tried to stone him, and to prevent that, also to teach that eternal life is never subject to material powers, he hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. Of course, he didn't hide behind a pole or a chair or in another room. He hid himself in his invisible body. He was revealing that eternal life is never encased in a physical body. He walked right through the mortal images. This physical body which vanished in the temple was the same physical body that the Pharisees later thought they had crucified and buried in a tomb. And the remarkable teaching here is that your physical body is equally beyond all conditions that lead to death. When you, as other disciples of Jesus did, achieve true knowledge of your undivided self. Now, that is a phrase you may not have heard before, at least in this specific terminology. It is a phrase you will become very familiar with every day of your human lifespan. And in the meditation now that we are about to enter, we will try to realize the meaning of living in your undivided self. We shall ascend above the natural mind. We shall leave human concepts behind us. And in the transcendental eye, we will discern truth beyond the perception of earthbound mortals. Truth beyond time, beyond space. And we shall experience the undivided oneness of spiritual life and the law of divine love that governs reality. When we have attained more than a glimpse of the one eternal self, we will then hold that knowledge in soul consciousness as a reminder that one undivided self, one undivided self with no other self in the universe, maintain in consciousness, is the key to the infinite kingdom of eternal life. Please enter the sacred silence and hold it, letting the one undivided self come through your consciousness. God is all. There is only one God. All is God, and therefore there can never be two. You see what is opening up to you now? There can never be two. It is one God, individualizing everywhere that you see human form. God the Father, God the Son, one infinite, undivided self. This is the only being, the whole being. To accept yourself as this being, without beginning, without end, you must overcome the belief in mortality. There are no finite mortal beings in creation. You are not a finite mortal living among other finite mortals. Wherever separated mortals appear, only the one invisible Christ stands. Where you stand, only the one invisible Christ stands. The invisible Christ is not separated from God, nor are you separated from the invisible Christ, because that is your name. There is no you there. There is no me here. There is only the one invisible Christ named I. I, Christ, is the only self present on this earth. I, Christ, is yourself. I, Christ, has been yourself before time, fragmented reality into the false appearance of mortals separated by space. Be still. Feel your immortality behind the mortal forms. Feel the oneness of your undivided self. Be still and know that your undivided self is God.